Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Pesa Shayo.
And I'm your host, Whitney Shayo.
And at Live Your Best Marriage, we believe that every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling.
That's right. And we also happen to believe that everything is figure outable. There is no problem that is too big for you guys to fix.
And because of that, we are here to support you and also to go through, to help you go through the journey of your marriage so that at the end you can look back and say, hey, it was worth it to stay together. It was worth it to stick through it.
That's right. And you guys can also like us on Facebook or you can talk to us on Twitter as well.
And I'm at Pesa Shayo and my wife is...
You can find me at Whitney Shayo.
Yes. And in today's episode, we will be talking about...
We will explain intimacy.
So it's intimacy explained.
That's right.
Yeah.
So first off, I just wanted to start it by saying that marriage is not self-seeking.
Okay.
So you know how in our culture, we're always told that if we find the right person... and marry them, we'll be happy.
Yes.
But actually, the purpose of marriage is to make the other person happy.
So not to make yourself happy?
To me, it's kind of complicated. You seeing their happiness is what fills the void for you. And then both of you have this mutual happiness and... I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but I think later on in this episode, it's going to be a lot more clear, though.
But just to have a statement is marriage is actually meant to make the other person happy, right?
Right. We don't get married to make ourselves happy. That's what I wanted to start by saying.
Oh, that's deep.
Because love is a very intense pursuit.
Okay.
You can call it constantly chasing, building, acquiring, sustaining, however you want to say it.
Okay.
You just keep peeling the layers of the onion as you go.
Yes.
So getting back to intimacy. Basically, it means that you accept that person the way they are.
You accept the person the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
With all
of their flaws.
Okay.
So you love them with their flaws. And some couples are so advanced, they even love the flaws.
Oh, give me an example.
Can you picture that? Well, I've heard people say... You know, oh, well, that annoying thing that he used to do, actually, now I just consider it a cute thing that he does.
Whoa, like...
I don't know. I can't give an example. No, I don't mean I don't have an example. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay.
They're just too advanced for me. But I'm at the point where I can love my husband with his flaws.
Okay.
Because I know... When we're young, sometimes it's difficult. We always want to think, but oh my God, but he did that thing, or oh, he has this thing where it's so irritating, or she does blah blah blah. But no, you can love them. Is it in spite of their flaws? Is that how you would say it?
I don't know if it's in spite of their flaws or including their flaws.
Including their flaws.
I guess you just love the person as they are.
So. When you hear the word intimacy, I want you to picture it spelled out as into me you see.
So into me you see.
Mm-hmm.
Into me you see?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Into me see.
Into me see, okay.
Okay. Because what you're doing is you're blending your heart with your spouse's heart.
Okay.
So that you guys can see each other for who you really are. The dictionary defines it as a close union, but in marriage, it is so much more than that.
The physical connection is not intimacy anymore?
No, sex is not intimacy. And
it's not?
No matter how hard you try, it never can take the place of emotional intimacy.
Okay.
Can't happen.
So blending your heart with another so that they can see...
Mm-hmm. who they really are. So once you achieve emotional intimacy in your marriage, sex is just a physical expression of that.
Okay.
It's, and if people who don't have intimacy, for example, if they're in a, let's say someone has been dating for 3 months.
Okay.
And they have sex, they haven't had emotional intimacy. They're just expressing a physical urge.
Okay.
They're not expressing real intimacy. That's, and I used to think it was. But we all have that craving. Mm-hmm. We all have the desire for intimacy.
Okay.
And that craving can actually drive us to do and say things that we wouldn't normally do.
Like,
so
to say that you love somebody or...
Right, right. There was a story that I read online. A lady was craving intimacy so much that she would have the physical relationship with a guy, thinking that it would just happen after that.
Her husband?
No, she would enter dating relationships.
Okay.
And so she would, they would go through that physical stage very early on.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that after that happened, they would achieve intimacy. But it never happened. So she was left lonelier than ever.
So this intimacy, is this something that like you're turning on like a switch, an off and on switch where you can turn on intimacy, or is something that just progressively gets... you achieve intimacy? Like,
I definitely don't think intimacy is something that comes and goes.
Okay.
I think that once you guys have stayed together long enough and you've peeled back all of those layers of trust from the onion, that doesn't sound right, but
mm-hmm.
once you've gotten past a certain point where you guys actually do accept one another the way you really are,
okay,
and you see them for who they really are, you look at all of their qualities and characteristics, not just the good ones,
okay,
and you're okay with the bad ones, then I think that you have real, authentic intimacy.
Okay.
And so, no, I don't think it's an on and off switch. I think it's something that builds up over time.
So there has to be that time factor. So it's not like you can meet somebody today, get married, and achieve intimacy.
Yeah. Maybe they could, but I always like to go back to dating as okay. my example, because in dating, there's a lot of infatuation. Okay. It feels like love, but it's not real love, because what we do is we are blinded to certain qualities. We focus on the positive things that person does.
Yeah.
And we're getting a polished version of them anyway.
Yes.
And so we don't see things about them that we probably would not like.
Yes.
And that's not authentic, because if you're looking right past them, then how can you accept them for who they really are? You don't even know who they really are.
So if somebody says, "Oh, we've been dating for 2 years," does that mean we have achieved intimacy?
I don't know. That's a really hard question to answer, because a lot of times, even for a married couple, we can get into this pattern where we predetermine what we think they are, what we think our spouse is, or who we believe them to be. Like, for example, if we slip into the trend of thinking, oh, they're dramatic, they're a troublemaker, or
the spouse.
Yeah. Okay. Or they're a weakling, or once we assign them a role or a label, again, we are looking past who they really are. We are the one, we cannot decide who our spouse is as a person.
Yes.
And so it's kind of it's hard for me to explain it, but the reason why I like talking about it is because the more I cover this issue, the more I can learn about it.
Oh, okay. So it's, in a way, it's also helping you understand the issue of intimacy.
Yeah, it helps me understand it. And I wanted to bring up the issue of disagreement.
Okay.
There should always be some disagreement in your marriage.
So, but hold on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have achieved intimacy in your marriage, So does that mean you'll never have any disagreement because you have achieved that thing called intimacy? No. Now you are like, you are gelling, you are, everything is connected?
No, you reach the status of intimacy because you guys had disagreements.
Oh, because and, you had disagreements? Mm-hmm. I thought, okay.
And the reason I say that is because if the person you're married to never complains or does not state that there's a problem, then they're not being open and they're not being honest.
Okay.
And again, we're not talking about people who might be in abusive relationships. We're not going there, because they might be keeping quiet out of fear. We're just saying, we're talking about the times when, if you care enough to mention something, for example, if maybe your spouse said a keyword that was really just, they were just talking, but you picked up on it for some reason.
Yeah.
And you found it disturbing or it concerned you. And so by you expressing it and talking about it, not only are you showing that you care, but you're being open. And yes. Again, we go back to the definition of intimacy as being completely open.
Yes, you're just being completely open. But at the same time, you might be hurting your spouse's feelings.
Well, words are very powerful.
Yes.
And so we definitely do not want to just be spewing words mindlessly or aimlessly. We don't want to do that. So it's not like we're suggesting that you have more reasons to complain now. It's like, okay, great.
I guess this is going to help me achieve more intimacy.
It's like, great. Thank you very much. You just gave my spouse more reasons to voice their opinion about me.
And because I'm just going to continue loving them just the way they are,
then I can say whatever I want. No, it's not that. Again, we go back to that point where we're assuming that you're both generally reasonable people.
Okay.
You're known in the community, you're known at your job, or you're known in your family as you're pretty reasonable.
Okay.
But there are, once in a while, you might say something or do something that causes alarm or causes concern. And you definitely want your spouse to say something because, again, they're being open, they're being honest, they're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and intimacy is all about sharing.
Okay.
So, and also another issue is, you know, if your spouse brings up a problem more than once, and if you're denying that there's even a problem at all, that might be something to explore.
And, you know, it just reminds me of what our pastor Mark Hoover said, I think last Sunday, that you should give... you should express your words with two things. So he was talked about, on one side, you should have grace, which is giving people what they don't deserve. So you become more affirming and just be a nice person. So you're using grace on one side. And at the other side of the scale is you're using the truth. Because he said words without being truthful... Speaking without being truthful, it's like giving people poison or something, because you're lying to them. But if you're just being truthful without some sort of grace, it's like just like a whip. You're just whipping because you're just, I'm just going to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. But you don't think about how the feeling, you're just literally...
It's too blunt.
Yeah, it's too blunt. So you have to balance the two things, the grace... And the truth.
So grace and truth.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a good point. Whenever you're raising an issue.
Yes.
So it's on the part of one spouse to just honor their request to talk about it and expose the issue, but also the one bringing up the issue needs to deliver that with truth and grace.
With truth and grace. Yes.
And that might not always work out so perfectly. Because sometimes when your spouse is upset, they might express a concern in a way that does not come out loving. But I want to remind everybody that one of the biggest fears we have is to lose intimacy. If one of our biggest cravings is to have it, mm-hmm. then imagine how crazy we can be if we have the fear that we might lose it.
We might lose the intimacy.
Right. Yeah. If we think that maybe our partner does not care about us as much anymore, or if we get the vibe that our partner doesn't love us, we might act in a way that is, you know, seems irrational or seems we're not expressing it the way that we should, but actually it's because there's a
There's a fear, but the fear makes us act in a weird way.
Right. I mean, if you're afraid of losing something that you crave the most, mm-hmm. I mean, I can certainly imagine how some arguments come up, but it's really, you have to keep in mind, it might be an underlying fear.
Okay.
They might not really just be bitchy.
Okay.
So another point.
And you talked about disagreement.
So yeah, so for the disagreements, it is super important to bring issues up, because like I said, if there's no complaining going on, then someone's not being honest. Someone's not telling the truth, because there has to be a conflict at some point. I mean, once in a while. Mm-hmm. Not
sometimes even the conflicts, it's like mm-hmm. the other side of the coin. And the other side of the coin, one side is like, oh, there's no conflict. The other side is there's conflict. But mm-hmm. For you to even understand how great things are when there's no conflict, mm-hmm. there had to be some way of measuring that.
Mm-hmm. So I would certainly want my marriage to be on the advanced level of intimacy. I think that's a really nice relationship goal to have, so that if we're expressing a concern, we can just honor the fact that they're bringing it up. And again, intimacy means you're sharing and you're connecting and you're open.
And then you say it's blending your heart with the other, mm-hmm. so that you can see who you really are.
Mm-hmm. So you can see who they really are. Okay. You need to know what's really going on inside their heart to achieve that level. Or else, if you don't, if you just assume, oh, yeah, they're bringing this up again. Oh, yeah, that's just how they are. You're actually limiting your potential for intimacy. So that's something to keep in mind. That's something. So infatuation.
And can a marriage survive for a long time without this version of intimacy, or just have the old style of physical expression, which a lot of us call intimacy?
It's the physical style is superficial. And I think one reason why a lot of premarital counselors advise against having sex early on in the relationship is because, again, it's not authentic. The connection that they'll feel is very superficial. You can call it infatuation or whatever you want to call it. It's not real love. If that's the only way that you're able to connect, you're not achieving true intimacy. But to answer your question, yes, I think a lot of marriages do last for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Not having this whole into me, you see. Yeah. I think they do. But there's a loneliness, though, that occurs as a result.
So if a guy out there is asking, say, hey, do I really, if I'm okay right now without going deeper with this into mm-hmm. you, I see intimacy, mm-hmm. this deeper version of intimacy. If someone says, hey, I really, I'm kind of okay right now. We are just doing the old physical expression. Do they really, really, really have to step up and go to the next level?
In their marriage?
In their marriage.
That's a tough question to answer. I would encourage it, because I can honestly say from my personal experience, I'm glad that I'm aware of it, and I'm glad that we have, after 13 years, we have definitely gone way beyond the level of emotional intimacy. And I'm glad we have, because in a way it helps us solve some of our problems. I mean, especially when I'm reminded of this whole disagreement thing. I think that's a really nice tip to just be able to look at a problem differently. Instead of thinking something is a hassle or thinking that, oh, things are just broken and they're never going to get fixed, like relationally, or, oh, you know, we're having a lot of conflict. It has reminded me that actually, you know what, we're making a deeper connection because of that.
Yeah.
Again, I guess, I don't know if I would call dating the counterpart of marriage. Does that sound right? I don't know.
Because I take dating as the first steps before you climb the ladder to get into marriage.
Okay.
Yes.
So
you have to have dating before you move to the next step of marriage. But there's some cultures where they don't even do the dating. They have the arranged marriages.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm referring to when I use dating in my examples, I like to refer to the ones that don't move past a certain level.
Okay.
The ones that break up after a couple months or 6 months. Because they couldn't get past the shortcomings of the other person.
So you think most of the dating relationships, and I'm not a dating expert, so you think most of the dating relationships will break because of the shortcomings of the other person?
Just from experiences that I've seen, I would say a lot of those cases have to do with not being able to accept the shortcomings or a wrongdoing that one person did.
Okay.
And I know there are all different reasons that someone can break up. Maybe just wanting to move to a different city. Maybe that that can also be a reason. But I like to explore the deeper issues as to why someone could not connect. That's what I like.
Because even if you're moving to a different city, we've had long distance relationship and then which eventually lead to a marriage. So
right. Yeah, that's how we started.
Yes.
So that's possible. But so I like to explore reasons why a couple can't connect.
Past the superficial.
Right. Beyond the superficial which level. Is, which would be infatuation or thinking that because they have sex they love each other, but that's not necessarily true.
Okay.
So I wanted to read something for you guys about love. Because if you enter, as we said earlier, marriage is not self-seeking. And you don't enter marriage to make yourself happy.
No.
Because if you do that with the expectation that the other person is supposed to make you happy and that expectation is left unmet, It's not fun. So I wanted to read something to you guys about love. So I would actually like to read something to you that I found, and I think it explains everything really well. It sums up a lot of what we've been trying to say. And that is, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongdoing. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Okay. Now, another thing I wanted to share with you is the fact that the pastor at our church actually read that to us one day. And it really inspired me. And I was like, wow, this is so awesome. Where did he find that? And then he said it came from the Bible. So it's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7. And it's true. I totally agree with it. Love never fails. And I think in times like this right now, not only in our marriages do we need to keep that in mind, but even in our whole country and throughout the world, if we can remember that love never fails, that is just something that can keep us going strong.
Love never fails.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Isn't that awesome? Yes. It's awesome to know that in your marriage, once you're able to achieve true love and true intimacy, that you'll never be left behind.
No.
You will have someone who loves you regardless. Yes, you will continue to say things and do things that your spouse might not agree with, but they won't drop you like a bad habit. Like, they won't... I guess that was weird. They won't leave you behind, I guess. I'll just say that again.
Because, so love is patient, and there is no end to the patience.
There's... No, people always lose their patience. We always have times when our patience are running thin. But if we can keep this as a general rule, like, for example, when we as couples, when we argue, we can actually have this system where we're like, okay, you know what? We're going to keep in mind that there's nothing that we cannot figure out.
Okay. And there's a word you used before. It was an...
Mm-hmm. Everything is figure outable.
Wow. That's a mouthful. Everything is figure outable.
Yeah, I was... That's not even my word. I've heard it before, but I was watching a training earlier with Marie Forleo.
And she used it.
Yeah, she used it for business, mm-hmm. but I was like, you know what? That can also be applied for couples. Because really, if you decide that you guys are stronger than any argument you'll ever have, and you decide from the get-go that no problem is too big for you guys to solve, then your arguments might not even last very long. They might become shorter and shorter mm-hmm. over a period of time.
Yes.
And you might even... Some of the things that are said, you might end up overlooking completely. You might not even take it personally.
Because you view yourself bigger than some of those comments.
Some of those comments, you view your relationship as way bigger than a word that was said, you know, like, or a comment. And we like to talk about trends too. This is a muscle that will build up.
Yes.
If you get offended quickly or you take something personally, you're building the muscle of
being offended quickly.
Taking things personally. Yeah. But remembering that you're friends above all else, and just keeping these ideas as a priority, both of you will always come out on top. You'll prevail sounds like
prevail.
Sounds like a very serious word.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll always win. Both of you will win.
I want to prevail.
You can't fight against someone who's on the same team as you.
No.
Or you shouldn't. You can't win a fight against someone who's on the same team as you.
Because both of you lose.
Yeah, both of you will either win together or you'll lose together.
Yeah. And sometimes I like to think in terms of, hey, look at the person you really admire, like pastor in your church, somebody who you really admire, would they be really offended by that comment that was just made? And now there's a huge fight because of some little comment.
Or do they have the strength to look past it and just keep going? Yeah. And also keep in mind that not every fight needs to be a fight. If your spouse does raise an issue, again, it could also be that thing that we talked about earlier where they might be in fear of losing you or losing something. So that can also be considered as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, so love is patient, love is kind. So remember, marriage is not self-seeking. Otherwise your expectations will definitely be left unmet.
And love It does not envy, and it does not boast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not proud.
It's not proud. So I guess basically what that means is love does not go around thinking it's always right.
Ah.
Or that it's always superior or it's always better. No, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to dishonor my spouse. And it's not easily angered either. So another tip is just to remember, as we said earlier, love is a very intense pursuit. It's something that you are constantly working towards. You're chasing it. You're building it. You're sustaining it. But you guys are bigger than your problems.
Always, always. And sometimes also we need to remember that what brought you guys together mm-hmm. can also be used as something to say, hey, you know what? I saw this in her, I saw this in him, and that's actually what attracted me to her or to him. And now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many years later, I can always try to rekindle that.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And you just reminded me in another episode that we have coming up, we're going to discuss how your greatest strength can also be your greatest weakness in your marriage. Yeah.
Your greatest strength can also be your greatest weakness.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So
that sounds interesting.
Yep. Yep. So you'll have to stick around for that one. That one's going to be really good.
Wow.
So
I'm ready to hear that one.
Absolutely. So again, if you predetermine, you know, what you think your spouse is trying to say, or you predetermine what you think you should see in them, you're just limiting the level of intimacy that you guys will get to.
Yes.
And you definitely don't want to do that. You want to achieve maximum intimacy.
Yes.
All right, so blend your heart with one another so that you guys can see.
I know it's not funny.
So that you guys can see who one another really is.
Wow. So for those of us who did not know that we signed up for that, we can continue doing the physical expression until we get our muscles, until we really understand this whole concept of blending our hearts with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the physical mm-hmm. expressions will get us down the road. I mean, you know.
yeah, absolutely. And you know what? One thing that excites me about emotional intimacy is it makes me less afraid of competition.
Oh.
And I know that sounds really weird, but as a wife, mm-hmm. and especially with my personality, the way I am, I'm very insecure sometimes. So, but knowing that my husband and I are on this extraordinary level, connecting emotionally, it just makes me less afraid.
Oh, okay.
And again, that doesn't mean I have legitimate fears. That doesn't mean that there's a risk anywhere. But as a woman, that is something that is built into me. That's actually a God-given concern. Insecurity is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and we could do a whole podcast on that issue, on that topic alone.
Wow.
It really is. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I just wanted to give my own personal testimony to how awesome intimacy can be.
Me too. I believe that intimacy is great and we should just continue having it.
And does it put you at ease?
Oh, it does. It put me at ease all the time. I love intimacy.
Well, you don't sound like you have a very strong conviction.
Mine.
We'll keep working on that. It's okay. We'll take care of that. Okay. Folks, once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love talking about marriage, and if there are any questions that you have for us, please reach out to us. We're always available.
Mm-hmm. You can DM us on Twitter, send us a DM, or you can also connect with us on Facebook at Live Your Best Marriage, or you can also go to the blog, which is liveyourbestmarriage.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll continue to update the blog and make sure that you have access to plenty of articles, but also plenty of videos as well. We have some new videos coming out very soon that we're really excited about.
Yes. So, folks, until next time, this is Pesa from Live Your Best Marriage. And
I'm Whitney Shio. Please, again, make sure to stay in touch, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
God bless.